Hello, good people. It's another edition of the Cool Sword Podcast, and welcome. Thank you so much for clicking the download button. Hey, guys, make sure you're leaving a five-star review. That is how we continue to grow our numbers and so that people can continue to find us on all of our platforms. So make sure you leave a five-star review on iTunes. We need that. We need that. We need that. We also need for you to email Jessica at Creative Edge ATL. She is the reason why the Cool Soror website is doing so well. She created it, and she also created The Chick's Guide to Beer, which is my best friend's website, who has also been a guest on the show, Jen Price. So please make sure you shoot Jessica an email. She'll get you all hooked up. And please mention the Cool Soror Podcast. Today we are joined by a cool brother, a cool bruh of Phi Beta Sigma, Kenny Kelly. He is a certified personal trainer, instructor, project manager, poet, spoken word artist, levy officer of delinquent taxes, and we'll get into all of that. But he talks a lot about working out and what we need to do to make sure we are in our tip-top shape. So please enjoy. Keep praying, praising, and pushing with Kenny Kelly. Enjoy. You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all.
I am a cool soror of
What's up y'all? I'm a cool soror of
Hi, I am a cool soror of
It's the Cool Soror Podcast, hosted by me, Rashawn Ali. You know I'm always happy to have the cool brothers on the show. You know, be across from some testosterone every now and then.
Absolutely. It's good for your system.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And Kenny Kelly joins the Cool Soror Podcast as our Cool Bruh feature of the week. And you are a cool bruh of?
Man, I'm just trying to say it's Phi Beta Sigma, baby. You know what it is.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I have no complaints at all. I'm here on this side of the dirt. What a good day.
Yes, I'm here on this side of the dirt. What a good day. Good stuff, good stuff. Well, I've known Mr. Kenton Kelly a very long time. Since we were about 14-ish.
Yep, 14.
Being exactly from Decatur. 14.
You know, we from the deck. You
we're
know
from
how
the
we
deck,
do.
Yeah.
We're a different breed, but the best breed.
Yes.
All day.
But you know, you went to Lakeside. You
well,
know.
The M product is real.
It is.
You know?
And I did the M, you know, Fernbank Elementary. Absolutely. But you know, from high school, I had to go with my dad. It was and everything like that. So Kenny, you do a lot.
I do too much.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Hey, I can't complain about eating when that was my mission.
Yeah.
I got a lot on my plate and I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I own it.
So you're a certified personal trainer, instructor, project manager, poet, spoken word artist.
Man, too much stuff, right?
What is this? Is this a levy officer of delinquent?
Yes. If you don't pay your taxes for your business or your home or your boats or your whatever, I'm coming to get you. Yes.
How does that work?
So it's an interesting thing. Everything associated with what we know you own or buy or operate a business is, has a tax to it.
Right.
You don't pay that tax. I'm going to investigate you, audit, see if you're paying your taxes. If not, you're getting certain tax breaks that you're not supposed to be getting. I'm going to come holler at you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do everything from boats to airplanes to heavy duty equipment to personal homes to businesses. So everything, we live in America, you know, in this world, everything associated with tax.
Yeah.
You got to pay taxes.
How'd you fall into that?
Well, it's funny. After I left Emory University about 3 years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine and he was like, hey, you know, you're good with numbers. You're good with auditing and stuff of that nature. I said, yeah, you know. He said, I'm going to plug you with someone. Just give him a holler. So I did. On that day, they called me and said, hey, let's do an interview. Did the phone interview. A week later, here I am. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
So God worked fast like that, you know?
Yeah, and so is that what you do like day to day? Is that your day-to-day?
Yeah, it's my day-to-day stuff.
Your 9 to 5, quote unquote.
Let's say 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then before 9, I'm in the gym training people as well. After work, I'm training more people in classes. I do all types of stuff. So
yeah,
it's good stuff.
Yeah. When did you fall into training? I mean, you said you've been doing it 20 plus years, but you've always been fine.
I try to be. Hey, I want to be one of the sexiest black men from Decatur. Why not? So, you know, I own that title.
Come on now.
But what I did was actually a coach of mine in college when I went to Jacksonville State University. He was like, look, you always lead in workouts. You know a little bit about this and that. We're going to fine tune some stuff. You should really think about getting into training after you graduated, whatever. And I said, all right. So after I graduated, had a couple of people come to me and say, hey, I want you to train me. We're motivated by you. We think you can hold us accountable. And you got different ways of doing things. Why not? So there it was.
Yeah.
I started to get all what I needed to get, invest in the knowledge of it, the muscles, everything from the kinesiology of it, just mm-hmm. looking and reading and getting as much information, going to camps and all types of different classes to get these certifications so I can make sure I'm on point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I want to be as good as what I am. I don't want to be a person out there who talk a good game but not walking the good game, if you will.
Where do you train out of?
I train out of different spots. Mm-hmm. Most important spot I train out of is the Riverside Epicenter,
mm-hmm.
right by Six Flags. So I'm always in that joint maybe 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
You know, early mornings, late evenings and nights. But I do any LA Fitness, mm-hmm. any Planet Fitness, Anytime Fitness. I got membership for all of them. So if you need to get your body right or with your mind and everything, holla at your boy. I got you.
Yeah.
I take care. The proof is in the pudding, I'm telling you.
Yeah. So what makes you so good? What makes you so good? Because you obviously are very confident about your work.
What I do is I invest more in just the surface end of things with people. Whether it be whatever business, Porsche, or whatever, I get to know that person and say, hey, whatever I'm creating for you, I'm going to deal with you. It's going to be unique. It ain't a cookie cutter person. Everybody ain't cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. We're different colors, different shapes, different nationalities for a reason. So I'm going to invest to learn who you are, what makes you tick from the inside out versus the outside in.
Yes.
So, you know, like with my training, I can't train you if your mind won't let me. You feel me?
Yeah.
So I spend at least 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks making sure we reprogram your thinking and your mentality before I even get to the body.
Yeah.
The body will follow the mind. There's no problem.
Yeah.
But if you have it in your mind that, okay, I'm with this, then we're going to do it.
Yeah.
If you have it in your mind that we won't, and I can't, and I won't give up that bread and those sweets, then we won't, you know? So it works both hands. But I uniquely try to find what makes that person unique, and I pull it out of them to get to all their goals and then exceed them.
Mm-hmm.
Just that simple.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people believe that this whole working out thing is, and I know you get a lot of clients like that, all I need, I just need these two abs right here.
Oh, absolutely.
I need my arms better, then I'll be straight. And then they may get that,
yes,
and then they stop. But working out is, it's a way of life.
It's a way of life.
Yeah.
You can't get off of it. It's like breathing. You're going to wake up and try to breathe every day, correct?
Yeah.
So why not just, you know, try to be the best that you can be instead of being just a one season person who's getting ready for a wedding or a trip or a family reunion. Just be all four seasons.
Yeah.
Be fine as wine all day.
Yeah, summertime fine. Is summertime fine? It's got to be year-round fine.
Absolutely. You're going to be fall-time fabulous? All right.
Yeah.
So let's do the whole thing. We're just going to be year-round fine all the time, fit, fam, fabulous, and we're going to be doing the doggone thing. So that's what we do.
You know, I'm all-time fine, too, and I just...
All day.
What I've seen, though, because, you know, summer is so festive.
Yeah.
I pick up more of the champagnes and the more of the white wines because it's just... I consume a lot in the summertime, but I know I have to counter that by doing my cardio and burning it off. But what is it about, you know, different times of year that changes people's habits that you've seen?
Really?
Yeah.
The sun and events.
Yes.
That's it. People say, oh, the spring is coming. My phone is blowing up after, let's say, Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
I got to turn people away. I'm like, I ain't got no room for you. Because they're like, wait a minute. Now I got this coming up and this. And this is in April and this is in May. And I'm like, okay. But when that sun come out and then events are dealing with the sun, they going to concerts, they going to reunions, they going to conclaves and all types of stuff. Everybody's trying to get fine for the presentation they want to be, you know, seen as.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm here for you, but let's get that work in before.
Yeah.
Let's try to get that work in before and don't let it go to where it's harder to get back in the saddle, if you will, once you lose it. Then mm-hmm. just get there and maintain and fine tune here and there, so you'll be good.
I think one of the recurring themes that I've had on this particular podcast, I talk about how adding resistance training has truly changed my life, especially being, you know, on the other side of 40 now. That year between 40 and 41, you know, leading up to 40, I was like, oh, I'm good. I'm an athlete. My metabolism not going to change. I'm good. Yeah. I'm just going to do what I've been doing.
Absolutely.
So I continued to do what I was doing, but my body wasn't responding the same.
Absolutely not. It's the greatest changing molecular greatest machine.
What happens?
So your metabolism changes.
Right.
So metabolism is just like everything. As you get older, everything, I don't like to use older. Let's use
seasoned. Yes.
That's what we're going to use.
Yeah, we'll use that.
So everything gets seasoned, right? So your cells change. Your muscle fibers change. Your response time to recovery. Your ligaments. Everything changes. They're getting more seasoned. So the reaction time to get them where you used to be able to snap your fingers and get that stuff right in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Nah, it's taking 2 months now because your cells, everything is different. So they need a different type of stimulant and food to make them react the way you want them to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard work, man.
Yeah,
so
I know.
You can't be eating all that stuff you usually eat that you used to eat even at 40.
Yeah.
Even at 41, 42, it changes every year. So you have to train your body to say, hey, each year we're getting older, so I'm going to train you a different way. We're still going to get from A to B, but we're going to do it just a little bit differently.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to do it more sufficiently and efficiently, get you better, and you'll hit your goals.
Yeah.
Straight up. But it's hard work.
How do you know, as I'm going into this year of 42, like, how do I know how my body is going to change and how do I adjust? Do you know that, or is this more of a trial and error type thing?
Well, different bodies are different things.
Yeah.
And so I've seen in all the years that I've been doing this, people change differently with a number of things, whether it considers their sleep, you know, that considers their family DNA, what sands you come from,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, what's your family history. You could tell looking at somebody's body, say, hey, you know, you good. You know, look at you.
Mm-hmm.
And most people look at you and be like, wow, she's looking about 35, even less.
Right.
You know, but it's a difference and you have to pay attention to your body.
Yes.
How it feels inside, how it's looking outside. You know your measurements. You may get on the scale. We don't know that stuff until you share it with us.
Uh-huh.
But tell us how that thing, that particular, your body is moving or progressing through any workout, any diet, your sleep, your consumption of this and that. And we can work it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different for different bodies,
yeah.
you know, and you just have to, it's a trial and error. What I give some clients for who's training for Spartan runs and weightlifting shows and fitness shows, different supplements for them don't necessarily work for my other people.
Yeah, of course.
So everything works differently for each person. So
yeah.
we got to say, okay, we're going to consider your blood type, consider your family history. We're going to do all of that. And then we'll say, okay, this gives us the best chance for you to reach your goals, destroy those goals, and keep going.
Yeah.
You know, so you just have to pay attention to your body. And like I do my plans, if a trainer tell you I can get you right in 30 days, he probably can in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But my plans are always 3 months. We're going to go 1 to 30. We're going to reevaluate everything. We're going to go 30 to 60 days, reevaluate everything. We're going to look at your look, your measurements. Oh, how you doing this? How's your strength, your endurance? Then we're going to go 60 to 90. After that, I'm hopefully I got you where you need to be. You don't need me.
Right.
I want to train you for the rest of my life. I want you to train yourself and then train your loved ones and your hubby and your girlfriend or whomever, your kids.
Because
and take that information.
Yeah, during that 90 days, you're not only, as you have stated, you're not only doing the physical part, but like you're truly changing someone's mind.
Absolutely.
Because when you change your mind, you can go to the gym and know that you got to lift today.
Absolutely.
You got to do cardio, because that's what I do now. My personal trainer, I still go to her for, you know.
Yeah, for tidbits to be tightened
tidbits
up
and
new
you know,
stuff.
We're still doing some stuff with my body that want change.
Absolutely.
But she went out of town. So I went after spin class. I went and I did hamstrings.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I did some leg extensions and I did all that because I know how my body reacts to weights.
There you go.
And let's talk about women and weights.
Okay. Women and weights.
Because I know you get... This is the first thing. Well, maybe we're going to have to do some weights. I don't want to get all big and bulky.
Yeah, they tell me that
all the time. I know.
I've never had one tell me not.
Right.
None of that.
I thought the same thing, too, like weights. But it has, ladies, and I know you all have heard me say this on the podcast. Please add some resistance training. But
Absolutely.
It has to be methodical. You can't just go in there. Yeah.
No, you have to have a plan. If you go in that gym and say, I'm going to do some weight work, and you don't have exactly what you're doing, you're going to bounce around.
Yeah.
Because you can't track it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You can't, you know, have that quantified and say, okay, this is what I did and this is what the showings or the results I'm showing on my body.
Yeah.
So get that. If you don't do nothing, all right, you can get that weight work. Do some high intensity stuff. Do some CrossFit. You'll get the cardio.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, because that amount of weight, if it's heavy, you're going to be breathing definitely to push it, to pull it.
Right.
You know, to turn it, to twist it. So you need all three phases. You need your cardio, you need your weight resistant work, and you definitely need your diet to be on point.
Yes.
You know, but
Isn't diet like 80%?
80%.
80%.
I would sometimes say even more. Sometimes I say 85 to 90, depending on who I'm training. Because I'm like, nah, we need to tighten you up. We need to lower those carbs on this level, and we need to up the fats on this. But it's real. There's no workout in the world I can create for you if your diet ain't on point.
Come on.
None. None. You can work out 5 hours a day, be a beast. But if you go and you leave and you eat 6,000-7,000 of unhealthy calories, it ain't gonna matter.
It's not.
It ain't gonna matter.
Nothing is gonna change.
So nothing is gonna change.
Yeah. You know? I had a cheat day this past weekend.
That's what's up.
But I was
it's your birthday though.
Well,
right?
Yeah, with not celebrating. Actually, I'm still celebrating.
There you go.
So we were at a wedding, but I knew going into the weekend, I already worked out five days.
Mm-hmm.
I knew where my weight was going into the weekend. I'm sure I gained some water weight and alcohol weight this weekend. But I know I'll be at spin class tonight and I'll be back regular. But I know in my mind what I have to do.
Absolutely.
It's constantly at the forefront of my mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people they plan their workouts around everything else. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, make it like the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You draw a picture of the sun, and then you have all these satellite moons on the outside. So put your family, your faith, and your fitness right in the middle.
Yeah.
And plan everything else on the outside. And people know me. If they invite me to something, I say, wait a minute, let me check my schedule. If it's messing up my workout, nah, partner.
Yeah.
I'm going to holler at you later. I'm going to be a little late, but I'm going to get there. But I'm going to get my mile run in. I'm going to get my two hours of high impact. I'm going to get it all in. And then I'm going to come holler at you.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Because, you know, plain and simple for the ladies who's listening.
Please.
My goal for y'all when I'm working you out, all right? For the men who's listening to me say this about these ladies, is I want your lady, your sister, your mom, your aunt, whomever this female is, to simply break necks when she is driving. I want her to cause traffic. I want people to be like, whoa, when she steps out. Sister, step out your car just at the light and just act like you're going to the trunk, you know, and be the greatness that you are. You want your insides to match your outside, and I want you to be the total package, mind, body, and spirit, all on point, you good.
Yeah.
But that is our goal, to show people, look, I'm in here, I'm putting the fitness work in, and if you can't see the proof is in the pudding, you may not be eating at the right place, straight up.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
Yeah.
So that's what our goal, to show people we do this work,
yeah.
And why not celebrate in showing other people, look how much work I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been putting in good work.
Yeah.
You know, so I celebrate that. Don't hide it. You know, nah, girl, I just been doing what. Nah, you've been putting in work and I'm going to celebrate you.
I say it
all
the time.
You feel me? So it's good stuff. Break necks and cause traffic, girls. That's all you need to do. You'll be gravy.
So let's talk about abs. You know, I know you team up with the guru of abs, and you probably do a lot of ab classes yourself.
Absolutely.
But you have to work from something with those when you do those classes. And
yeah.
A lot of women will say, Rashawn, how can I get my abs like yours? I'm like, it starts in the kitchen.
Yeah, and
like,
you got to be prepared for that. And I tell people, everybody got abs. Mm-hmm. They do.
They're under there.
You just cannot see them because of the layers of fat that's over them. So we have to diminish and whittle down those layers. So with the strength part and the diet part, then they can meet each other in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You can have the definition, and then you can have just the your waistline, just simply down the way you want it to, where you can wear that two-piece. Men, if you want to go out, jump out, swim, you ain't got to have a little shirt. You can just do you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it is absolutely made in the kitchen of what you're eating. You have to know exactly what you're eating. If you don't know how to track your food, track it. We have so many apps now on our phones. Do the MyFitnessPal,
mm-hmm.
and use that. Write that stuff down. Put your ounces in and how much you're eating. It'll tell you the calorie breakdown. You know, a rough area of the salt that's involved with it, the sugars and all of that. And as you track all of this stuff, you'll be able to see a plan of, okay, I need to stop eating more of this and start eating more of this because mm-hmm. this is what's helping me get to that goal.
Right.
But that work from the twist and the tuck and the pulls to get the ab work, you got to do it. And ab and core work is some serious work.
I mean, core is
you
everything.
Feel me? It's some serious work. And I do a class, an ab attack class over at the Riverside Epicenter every Monday and Wednesday, 7:15, 8:15. We get it in.
Yeah.
You can come, tell them I told you to come at the front desk. They'll let you upstairs and we can show you how to get right.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll show you how to get really right.
And then a lot of women, like you'll see like Beyonce when she's, you know, in her tip top shape. She's
sure.
not like an ab, like you don't see six
no,
abs. Like
no,
because
no.
Because ab structure is
different
for everybody.
It's different for everybody.
Right.
So you can't say, okay, I'm going to send you this picture. I'm going to to get exactly like this. I'm like, I can get you like that, but are you prepared to do what they did or what you don't know they did? Mm-hmm. You feel me? So it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
Just as long as you are exquisitely fine when you remove your shirt or have your two-piece on, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I've seen women is petite and exquisite to women who is TWI thick-witted. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
Yeah, yeah.
Thick-witted, sis. I love it. So they look just as good.
Yeah.
Their stomach and the waistline, everything that they want will hit your goals.
Yeah.
Straight up.
And it's your body.
Yeah, it's your body,
just
man.
Like your fingerprint. Your body is absolutely your body. And you have to have the best body that you can have.
All day.
Yeah.
So, and just put in work for it. You'll get it.
Yeah.
You'll get it.
Yeah.
Constant work.
And not only do you, you know, delinquent taxes, certified trainer, but you're a poet.
I'm a poet.
Spoken
man.
Word.
Yeah, artist. I do a little something.
Sincere.
Yeah, man. So
when did you get into, like?
Oh, it's funny.
When growing up, I don't remember.
But see, growing up, it wasn't really cool then.
Yeah.
So I always wrote stuff for people. They would come to me and be like, you know, okay, look here, man. I got this girl, man. I need a little something wrote down for me, man, so I can slide it to her, you know, show her how much I like and love her. So I would write all types of love notes and letters for guys and little poems for their girls. That, I mean, it started like 7th, 8th grade, yeah. 9th grade. So I was like, okay, so soon my wonderful sister Rashida was like, look, man, you good at this stuff. Write, share it. So I used to have tons of notebooks and papers where I scribbled all types of joints on. So I just started sharing them. And then after that, the rest was history. Got with some good individuals. Right when I got out of college and everything, Live Poets Society, and we used to do some joints on Mitchell Street.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we used to get down. So I got in the game and we grew up.
Yeah.
You know, I just grew up doing stuff, so it just more from there. People would call and say, hey, we got this show coming up, come. You know, we got this event coming up, write something. We got this panel coming up, be on it. So I've been doing that ever since, man.
Yeah.
So I'm all over the place with that.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Man.
So how often do you still write a lot now?
I write a lot. Still write a lot.
Yeah.
I do a lot of joints. I got some stuff coming up soon at the end of July. Some people got some events going on I'm going to get into. Some jazz stuff coming up. I got a friend of mine who does some jazz work. He was like, yo, we might need to get together, do some stuff. So he was like, I've been hearing some stuff. I heard some private stuff you did. So let's see what we can do.
So do you, when you do your pieces, are they primarily about love?
Nah. But they, a lot are. Because I know there's so much other stuff going on in the world from, you know,
politics.
Yeah, from the politics and from how they feel that we are black people are being treated, and from drugs, murder, girl, everything. But I mostly write about love because love is the only thing, in my opinion, can fix them all. It's a love for something that you won't do something or you will do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ain't gonna treat that woman like that because I have love for my mom and my sisters. They taught me better not to call her that.
Right.
You know, and brothers out there, I want to warm his head up, but I love him that I love my family and I love that he's a black man. He's probably somebody's brother, sister, and I don't want to take his life and I don't want mine ending.
Right,
either. So it's
right.
Love of something that.
That keeps us
keeps
here.
A person,
yes.
You know, grounded from doing something they wouldn't do or give them pause.
Mm.
You know, so I write a lot about love. Love is good, man.
Yeah.
There ain't no love like good love. You know, you know it's gravy.
And you've experienced love. You've experienced loss.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're currently married, but you were married before. And,
absolutely.
What did you learn from your divorce that made you a better husband? This time around.
The number one thing that I learned from my divorce is even if you think you got it all going and it's wonderful, that even the most perfect plan won't give you the results. That's just like investment. I do a bit of investment. I tell people, hey, man, you can invest all you want. I can tell you all about the stock market, what's going down, the puts and calls, where to put the stuff at. But you still may not get the ROI that you want.
Yes.
And it's not your fault. It is too many other factors in this world that could change something.
Yeah.
It could be anything, man. So you have to understand that things happen. It's not all your fault. Some things that you could reflect. I've learned that you take, in any situation, you take the fish and you throw away the bones. So you take all the good stuff and you throw away the bad stuff that doesn't have anything to benefit you to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't keep that. You don't keep that baggage. After I come through that airport, I throw that baggage away and I keep the good stuff of what happened on that good flight or wherever I was going to my new growth. Hmm. And I use it.
Right.
So my divorce taught me, hey, it's a lot of stuff that I could do better. But there's a lot of good stuff that I would keep the same.
Yeah.
So what's for me is for me. Even tooth and tongue is in the same mouth, and sometimes they don't get along when your tongue get bit.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it doesn't always mean it's something bad. It's just it happens. Mm-hmm. You don't wish it to happen. Nobody sets out to get a divorce. Nobody does that.
Yeah.
You know? But if it happens, should it happen, you got to grow from it.
Yes.
And don't hold no, hey, I understand how it all went down, but at one point of time, remember, that man and that love and that woman, y'all was everything each other wanted in each other's lives. So you got to keep it that way.
Yeah.
You feel me? So, you know, my ex, I still love her to death because she's a great, great person.
Yes.
You know, we just didn't work out. We have a great, great, beautiful princess, a legacy that we got on this earth. So what I got to be mad and upset about?
Yeah.
You know, it's gravy. So I let that stuff go and keep it moving, player,
yeah.
You know?
You know, Jay-Z's, have you had a chance to listen to Jay-Z's new
album? Well, some guys text me just yesterday. They say, hey, man, you need to listen to it. This type of music. He's talking about some stuff he
yes.
did. Because we was having the great debate. Did he really cheat on Beyonce?
I said,
a good friend of mine, he said, yo, I think he did as well. Based on the song of what I'm listening to, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, I haven't heard it yet, but I'm going to download it.
Okay.
I said, if I download it, I'm going to get back with you. Let me research. Let me marinate on it.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have a dialogue. He was like, cool. But he mentioned the same thing.
Yeah.
That I think Jay-Z did cheat on her or something like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, it. I think that we put a lot of artists on pedestals, like especially like a Beyonce who every man who loves women, like, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, how can anybody, just like everybody puts on pedestals. You know, I'm Halle Berry on a pedestal, but they're human.
They're human.
And Jay-Z's human.
We make mistakes. Your fame, your fortune does not remove you from being human.
Come on.
And we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm listening and I'm thinking about the Lala and the Carmelo thing.
Yeah.
And people ask me, you know, okay, what you think about it? I'm like, they human, folk. He's human. Now, I will say this. If you human and you use that as an excuse to keep going back doing some tomfoolery, then you ain't human.
Right.
You just being an idiot.
Yeah.
It's a difference.
Uh-huh.
You feel me? I can understand a mistake.
Absolutely.
But after it's a mistake you keep doing, now then it's a character flaw.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? You can't change character flaws. Mm-hmm. Well, not mere mortals, but maybe your God whom you worship may be able to. But nah, you can't change no character flaw, not another mere mortal from a person.
Huh.
I'm just being 100 all day. You cannot change that.
Wow.
You feel me?
There's one part on the album in one song. He said he couldn't really understand his wife's emotion until he had a daughter.
Absolutely.
How is there some similarity in your thought pattern like that? Or
it
or
is.
Or did you, because it seems like you've always been, and this is just Kenny, Norm, Rashawn.
Absolutely.
You've always been kind of tapped in, but
right.
What would that line, or how does that line resonate with you?
Because it's like playing in a game and watching a game. When you ain't got no kids, especially when you don't have girls. I got girls. You feel me? You on the sideline looking at other people, other parents with girls. Talking about, man, stop being like that. She's just a little girl. She growing up. But when you get in the game and you have a seed that's a female, then all of that stuff you thought about doing to or with a female, I'm being 100.
Yeah.
You start thinking, somebody's going to be talking about that to my daughter.
Uh-huh.
Do I want her to think of it? And it comes full circle to be like, yo, where do I lead appropriately and forget the stuff in the past and lead better? You know, so you connect with the emotion of a woman because sometimes I'm like, hey, you know, I ask the missus sometimes, like, I say in a house full of women now. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to pray for y'all. Y'all be all on your certain time of month. I get that. But I'm going to get on my certain time of the month. And and the emotion with that is bananas. It's like night and day. And so the connection of just being with that once I had a daughter, and I feel Jay-Z. I mean, it's the emotion part of it. It can go from sugar to, you know, the other thing, just like that, because the emotional parts of who a woman is, mm-hmm. you know, the connection and what she's so dealing with on many levels. I thank God all the time. I'd be like, man, you know, you the man. I mean, for real. I'm going to be 100. You gave us Jesus. That was gravy. Then you was really showing out when you gave us black women. I was good. But then when you gave us women, black daughters who are so, man, entombed,
yeah, entombed
with so much.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think, man, in my opinion, you know, the greatest thing about black women is they are at their best when things are at their worst, if you will. And I'm like, man, I don't think I could do some of that stuff, man. I'm glad you didn't make me no woman, bruh. I'm good. And I be real about it. I'm like, man, whew, you the man.
Yeah.
Straight up. Because y'all, the emotional part of it, to navigate and handle it eloquently, like, it's like breathing.
Yeah.
You know, you got things going on. And I know you do as a black woman. Can imagine. However, you make it look easy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the wonderful thing of it. You make it look easy. So I can connect and be like, hey, whatever you want, I'm good. I'm going to work with it. It's cool. You black woman. It's good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have some, you know, some pause and patience with it all at the same time, man. So it's good.
Yeah. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you became a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated in 2004.
Yes.
Now, did Phi Beta Sigma choose you or did you choose Phi Beta Sigma?
We chose each other.
Okay.
It was definitely a mutual thing. Before, I was always hanging with those wonderful gentlemen. We all played on the football team. I hid some of them guys when they were online. I was doing my own thing.
Right.
So that was the only reason why I didn't take that walk then, because I was busy doing my own thing. I was always like, man, I got this business going on. I'm working on this. I got my own thing. I don't want to be in nobody's way. I don't want nobody in mine. So once I came full circle about some things, I said, okay, look, man. You can do all that thing simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God ain't going to give you, lead you somewhere and then not sustain you or give you the resources, talents, and gifts, and abilities to do it. So, bam, there it was. So it was a wonderful mutual agreement. it was wonderful.
Yeah.
That's all I can say in every stretch of imagination. And I have absolutely did everything that's supposed to be done to make a fraternity better in the sense of my honor to be in it.
Yeah.
And for me to just be affected by good brothers.
Yeah.
Now, do not get me wrong. I love every other fraternity for sure. You know, you divine, now you good. I'm gravy. But, you know, it's just something about being a member.
What resonated with you about Phi Beta Sigma?
The community and the brotherhood. I'm big on doing something, leaving lives better than I found them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we culture for service. So, man, I'm like, hey, let's jump in. I'm with all of that. Anything that I can do with the youngsters or current people to leave somebody's life better than I found it, I'm good.
Yeah.
So I was with that.
Uh-huh.
So my pledge dog, we was real close, very good friends. So I was like, look, man, I wanna go to work. Use me, man.
Yeah.
You know, use me. I don't want anything from this but to do what I can do to make somebody's lives better, to teach them that I was taught and show the love back, if you will, pay it forward. So that's what I did. I got busy, man.
Yeah. I love it.
So yeah.
I love it. And you're currently active in your chapter.
Absolutely.
As well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good.
Yep.
Good
so
for you.
We put in work. We just got through doing some good work at we're doing our scholarship fund. So we did that over at Cascade.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Cascades at the Applebee's. So we did pancakes and sausage joint.
Yeah.
It was so wonderful this weekend. Many, many people came through,
gave,
and they participated, and they ate, and we got to serve them. And, hey, what else? What else you do but work and you serve?
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to be a servant in this world.
How you've always been the same. And
y'all expected me to change over the years.
Not change like that, but the way you smile and are always completely positive. How are you always like that? And I'm sure you have your moments.
Yeah, of course we do. But I think of it like this. If I wake up on this side of the dirt, I got to celebrate something. I got to be happy because there's an alternative. I couldn't have woke up on this side of the dirt today. So, but since God said, okay, since I'm going to think enough of you to wake you up, I want you to be excited about some things. So I'm excited about breathing. I'm excited about blinking. I'm excited about my phalanges and my blood running warm in my veins because somebody is not. Somebody can't see, but they want to.
Yeah.
Somebody can't walk, but I can. You feel me? Somebody want to say, okay, I want to be able to grab something and shoot a basketball, but they have no arms. So I'm going to be excited about it. So I always thought, hey, why be negative, but that's not doing anything but pouring gasoline on a fire of negativity. So if I'm going to be positive, I'm going to be positive about it. Why not? I'm trying to get to the goal. The mission is to be excited about life, make an impact. And if you're sad, of course, we take a step back, we take a pause and all that good stuff. That's all understandable. But it, all in all, I got to be positive because my positivity is not for me. It's for everybody or whomever may be watching me. You feel me?
Yes,
so
I do.
So somebody who might be on the ledge be like, man, you know what? I thought I was going to end my life, but I saw you. You were positive. You came. You was excited about life. You showed me good love. I felt your energy. So your energy helped me get over to the next day.
Yeah.
So I don't know whoever watching me, but I'm going to be positive regardless. I'm going to laugh about it. We're going to joke. But do not get it twisted. I'm from Decatur, folk.
Eastside.
I'm trying to tell you, shout out. I go from 0 to 100. If I have to, I eloquently put a bump on your head. But in the meantime, most of the time I don't. We can talk about it. We can delegate. We can find the solution. And I can be the positive brother that I am. But please, do not push me, player. You feel me? So, you know, it's all good. Just because I wear suits and stuff like that don't mean I cannot take off my tie.
It's so funny that the cane comes out of it.
For sure.
It just oozes out.
Just being 100. But, you know, it's a great thing, man. I want to be positive to anybody I can be positive to.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a drug. It's addictive to other people who may see it and be around it. You know, you can't help but be positive if somebody is positive around you all the time.
Right.
You can't. You could try to do it, but it won't last. You'd be like, you know what? You're right. I never thought of it like that. Let me smile a little bit and laugh at myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can laugh. I'll laugh at you. You can laugh at me. We're going to be positive. We're going to get through it. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep praising. We're going to keep pushing. And it's all good.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it.
Keep praying. Keep praising.
All day.
Keep
pushing. That's it. You got to.
Yes. What's your definition of cool?
Ooh. Cool. In what sense? Let me ask you that.
No.
What's my definition of cool?
You can't answer a question with a question.
All right, so my definition of cool is being able to get up in the morning, be comfortable in your own skin, and also being around all these other entities that you're involved with, and they don't try to change who you are. Mm-hmm. That's it. I'm cool, man. You got exactly what you need. You're not excessively got tons of stuff, but you are comfortable. You feel me? So if you want to make moves, you're comfortable, you cool, you calm, you collected. And I'm just, hey, I'm taken care of.
Yeah.
If I need anything, I could get it, you know. But if I don't, I got good, wonderful people in my life that helps me get it. So I'm cool. I got my family. I got my faith. I got my people. And I got my sanity. So I'm cool. That's cool to me, man. Yeah. I don't need all that other stuff. To be laid back and have no stresses of the game, you know, like Biggie said, more problems, more money. It all connected to each other. So I don't got to have all that. I never wanted to be rich, but I just wanted to be cool on a sense that I can take care of my family, take care of myself, teach my legacies to do what they need to do, and be cool in every realm I hang with, whether it be my uppity folks I do business with, you know, in Buckhead or Bankhead, whatever. I'm still cool with all of them. Just cool to be who I am and make a sense of whatever realm or entity I'm working with. We all, no stress, no drama.
Yeah.
We cool. That's so cool to have no stress and no drama. But like, yo, I get up in the morning, I ain't got to worry about it because I ain't got no parts of that. So it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome. All day.
Awesome. How can people find you and connect with you, sir?
All right, so if you need to find me on many different levels, I got social media, but I'm not really a social media person. Let me explain that. My manager be like, yo, you need to get on social media, people. I'm like, just give my number. I'm just cool. Just holler at me. If you got some business stuff going on, you got some poetry stuff, you got some projects you want me to work on, you come in some fitness stuff, man, just hit me up. All right, it's just that simple.
Yes.
So you can contact me at 470-222-4737. It's just that easy, man.
Yeah.
Straight up. Or if you want to hit me up on social media, you can hit me up on Instagram at MBS Wellness ATL. It's just that simple.
You give out. It's all good.
Yeah, man, so cool, man. So holler at your boy, man. We'll work it out. We'll get you in there and you'll be good to go.
Kenny,
straight
thank
up.
You.
For sure. Appreciate you having me.
Being a part of the Cool Soul Rock podcast as our cool bruh.
I'm cool.
Yes. Kenny
so
Kelly.
Cool.
Yes, you are.
Try to.
Kenny Kelly, everybody.
No doubt. Yo, look, so look, man, my name is Kenny Sincere Kelly. I'm everything that Atlanta has produced, ATL born, Decatur raised. I am the poet. I'm the levy officer. I'm just the project manager. I am the man you come to see to get your fitness needs taken care of. And I am a cool, I mean cooler than the polar bear's toenail, brother of the Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Peace.
You know?